Dr. James Fielding is an epidemiologist at the Victorian Infectious Diseases Reference Laboratory in Melbourne. He is the co-author of a short report which analyses the severity of the 2015 influenza season in Australia. Contrary to most mainstream media reports at the time, Dr. Fielding and his co-authors have found that the answer depends on how much and which data is consulted.
With the Sentinel GP systems, what we did was we compared influenza-like illness over the years. And in 2015, it really didn't show any considerable difference to 2014 in particular.
Okay.
And in most systems, the rate was not as high as 2012, which was what we think was a more severe season than the 2015 season.
The media attaches onto one set of figures.
Yes.
Which look very sexy from a media point of view, but they're not looking at enough numbers and enough different sets of numbers.
That's exactly right. So I think the National Notifiable Diseases data are quite accessible and they certainly paint a very dramatic picture. But the Australian government, with the cooperation of the states and territories, produces a weekly or a fortnightly Australian Influenza Surveillance Report that collates all the data from all the different systems that include Sentinel GPs, emergency departments, people that are hospitalised, death data from New South Wales, as well as the Notifiable Diseases system, and interprets all the data collectively to make an assessment of the severity of the season and to epidemiologically characterise the season.
Do you think there's a bit of selective promotion going on as well? Is there an agenda behind wanting people to think there's a dramatic rise in influenza and go out and get your shot? Is there something that conscious going on?
Yeah, there may be an element of that. I mean, I think there's a tension between over-exaggerating a threat from a disease to encourage vaccination.
And does that do a disservice to patients?
I think, well, potentially it can, and it can reduce trust in health systems if people get the sense that the influenza season is, that the threat of influenza from season to season is over-exaggerated, then they might lose faith over time in health messaging. And so when, I mean, I guess it could be compared to a crying wolf scenario. And we just want to make sure, I mean, we want to make sure that people that are recommended for getting vaccinated are being vaccinated, but at the same time not exaggerating the threat. So it's a real tension that I think a lot of public health practitioners face.
Are you able yet to make any predictions about this year?
Not yet. I know that, certainly year to year, a lot of people are keen to gaze into their crystal balls and try and predict what might happen.
Yep.
I've worked in flu now for a number of years, and we've, in the office, you know, informally tried to make predictions about what might happen.
Do you want a pool?
So yes, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, usually they're wrong. Often something unexpected comes up. I don't think anyone was expecting last year to be dominated by type B influenza, which it was, the first time that's happened since 2008. I think in the previous Northern Hemisphere season had been quite a bad one for type A H3, and I think there was some expectation that that might be seen in the Southern Hemisphere, but and we did see co-circulation of H3 influenza, but about 60% of cases identified both through the Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System and within Sentinel practices were type B.
I mean, if you were king for a day, How would you convince the media to go a little easier on this stuff?
I think that's really difficult, and that's something that I think public health practitioners are really trying to grapple with, about how to get messaging across. The Australian Influenza Surveillance Report has been available on the website. It's publicly available throughout the influenza season. It's updated regularly throughout each season. The data are there. There's explanations there. And yet it's really, the challenge is really to communicate nuances in,
yes,
in the data. Certainly from our perspective, we're looking at trying to redevelop our messaging to be a quite concise introduction,
yes,
and summary of what's going on, but utilizing all the data and kind of condensing that into a few simple messages, and then, you know, providing extra detail in the report. So it's something that we're all aware of, and I guess frustrated at what we see in the media, from some media sources. No one's really interested in a story that says, you know, nothing unusual is happening. If there's one data source that says, that suggests that, you know, something could be going on, even though there's no sort of delving into the deeper reasons behind why those data are saying what they are, that's really difficult to challenge.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.